honor you. We honor and reverence that name above every name, that name that we're singing about, that name that's the greatest name in heaven, the greatest name in earth, the greatest name under the earth is that name of Jesus. And there's no greater name. And we thank you for giving us access and authority, privilege to use that name. Thank you, Father God, for the power that's displayed in that name. Thank you. There's power when we speak that name. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us authority in this earth realm. You've given us a say in what happens to us and what we deal with, Father God. And so we thank you. Oh, thank you for it. Where would we be without that name? Where would we be without that name? We bless and magnify you and thank you for that name and the authority represented by that name. We know that all of heaven stands still when we use that name. Father, thank you tonight. We pray in that name. Father God, as we share and minister here, that you'll be glorified through that name. Father God, have your way in this very service with these very people. Father God, we yield ourselves unto you. Thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance. Thank you, Father God, for accomplishing your very will and plan and purpose. Thank you for 30 years here at Rhema Bible Church, for all that's been wrought here by your hands through this ministry. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, shake one more person's hand. You can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many excited about 30 years? 30 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember when we came out here, at that time, you know, of course, there wasn't a church. They had different services here, but they didn't have a church per se here. And so I remember I always said, look, God did not uproot us to come all the way out here for me to go to some other church. He uprooted me, sent me to Rhema. That's exactly where we're going. We're going to Rhema. We're going to get everything God's got for us. How many agree with that? You get everything God's got for you here at church, whether you're here locally or whether you came from some other area. This is a local church, praise God, with worldwide outreach. Praise God. And it's just thrilling to be a part of it and to see, you know, what the Lord has done. You know, you look back and you just have to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord, you think about people who have been saved through this ministry, blessed through this ministry, uplifted through this ministry, healed and delivered and set free through this ministry. You have to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. But then, you know, as soon as when we get done saying, look what the Lord has done and giving God the glory, then he's had some faithful, obedient servants, our pastors. I know they're embarrassed. They don't like us to do this. Can you just stand on your feet, except for our pastors? Can we just show our love and appreciation? Through 30 years, they followed the plan of God. They have stuck. They have stood by the call of God, the plan of God. I know that embarrasses them, but, you know, the Bible says, you know, we ought to give honor where honor is due. And they have stood true to the plan of God, to the call of God, that whatever it took, they have demonstrated that through 30 years. And thank God for their faithfulness. You ever thought about where would we all be had they not stayed faithful? What if they had quit? What if they had given up? I'm sure they had plenty of opportunity. Where would we be? But they stuck to it, thank God. And thank God for where he's brought us to. Tonight, Satan can't beat you in the arena of faith. Look at somebody and tell them, Satan cannot beat you in the arena of faith. Oh, glory be to God. You know, God has designed us to win. He's destined us to win. Glory to God. And God, he wants us to win, but he's designed it so we have to stay in this arena. If we stay in this arena, we can never be beat in the arena of faith. And one great tactic, one great strategy of the enemy is to try and lure you and I out of that arena. You know, like I love alligator shows. You know, a gator, whenever a gator attacks something on land, it tries to drag it back to the swamp. It's just the nature of the gator to try to drag the fight back to the swamp. And the devil's just like that. He'll try to get you and I out of the arena of faith. He'll try to drag us to the swamp, get us into flesh, get us into feelings, get us into sense mode. Because then we can't appropriate by faith the victory that Christ has already won. But if we'll stay in that arena, if we'll stay in that arena of faith, there's no way he can beat us. You know, boxing was always a big part of everything we did at home. And the reason is my dad, we always boxed with each other. My dad went to heaven the 4th of January, 2014. But I remember growing up as a kid, we always boxed together. We always boxed. Sometimes we'd have gloves and sometimes we'd just have our hands. And he'd hit me and then he'd say, come on, get your guard up. And he'd hit me. Every place I didn't have my guard, he'd hit me till I could hold my guard up, you know. And then I hit him a couple times and he said, we got to stop playing like this. I was getting older. But my dad, we always boxed and and one reason is my dad was in the Army for 20 years before he had a career with AT&T, was in the Army 20 years. And he went in the Army in February 1948, was sent to Korea in 1950. 1952, he made the U.S. Army boxing team. And so I have pictures of my dad boxing back in 1952, just really precious to me now, you know. But because of that, then we always practiced boxing, and he always taught me different techniques about boxing. And even toward the end of his life, he'd say, I can still throw a punch. You get away from me. I can throw a punch. You know, we'd always kid, you know. And you have your Bible tonight. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to go 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 6. We're moving from there to 2 Timothy 4, 1 Corinthians 9. So have your bus transfer ready. We'll hit each stop. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading New American Standard. I'm going to quote these four verses, and then we'll go right into the heart of the message here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy, what did I say? 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. You're bad. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 18. No, my bad. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 18. All right. You with me now? If you're with me, say amen. All right. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 and 12. I keep saying 1 Corinthians. 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. I'm sorry, forgive me. 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. All these scriptures I'm reading from are New American Standard tonight. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold on the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Again, that phrase, fight the good fight of faith. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go on to verse 7 there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7. Paul wrote at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. One more scripture, one more. Go back now. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, 26. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. Over and over again in Scripture, we find this encouragement, this admonition to fight the good fight of faith. One thing is certainly true. Jesus has already fought it. Jesus has already won it. Jesus has already defeated the enemy. Our enemy is a defeated foe. And so when we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith, we're not talking about putting him on a level where somehow he has some victory or we're trying to get some victory from him. The victory's already been won. We're simply enforcing everything that Jesus won for us. How many understand what we're talking about tonight? And so the Bible tells you and I to fight the good fight of faith. And you and I are in a fight, whether or not we realize it. You and I are in a fight tonight. And I'll tell you, we've got to fight and wage war the way that God said. I remember, I was in the sixth grade, and I got into an altercation with someone at Catholic school. And I went to a Catholic grade school and then a Catholic high school. And at Catholic grade school, you know, I was the only African-American boy there, and it was just great. I mean, color really was not an issue in the school, except for on a couple of occasions. And on one of these occasions, on a Friday afternoon, and in art class, young boy named Jerry, he had been the subject of trouble for me. He had been bugging me, Jerry Petersack. Isn't it funny how you can remember names like that years later? Jerry had been bugging me, and he'd been calling me some, let's just say, some unpleasant names. And, you know, I'm one of these individuals, I operate on a slow burn. You know what I mean? I'm usually a pretty patient guy, but I get to a point like when I've had it, I've had it. And such came this inevitable day. Jerry was sitting two desks behind me. Between him and I was a girl named Donna Matey. You remember Donna Matey. We used to always say, "Ahoy, Matey." And then she'd say, "Cut it out." And then, well, anyway. But Jerry was shouting up some negative things. And so I turned around. People back there could hear him. And I heard him. And I turned around and I said, "You better cut it out." And so he kept on. Donna Matey turned around. And Donna Matey said, "Shut up," to him. But he kept on. And I never forget, because I'd had my fill, and I turned to him right in the middle of class, and I said, "After class, it's going to be you and me after class." And he must have seen something in my eyes, because I remember when the bell rang, Jerry made a beeline for the door. But I saw what he was about to do. I'd really had it. I beat him to the door. I hustled over to the door and blocked the door. And I told him, I think I was in sixth grade, I am not glorifying altercations. I'm not encouraging physical altercations at all. I'm just saying, I beat him to the door and I had my fill. And I told him, I said, "Jerry, that's the last time you're going to call me that." And I never forget what happened after that. He reached out his hand to shake my hand. And for a half a moment, that fooled me. Because when I reached out my hand, he swung real quick. But when he swung, the things my dad had taught me, I just moved out of the way. And then, you know, I'm left-handed. So when I hit him, I mean, it knocked him back. And he came forward, I hit him again. And by that time, Sister Regina Dolores was down there in the middle of us. Sister Regina, she was saying, "Oh, I'm shocked at you, William. I am shocked. You're the last person in the school I would expect to see fighting." I said, "Sister, just go call my father. I've had enough. I ain't taking no more." And so anyway, we got it all straight. And I should say, in Jerry's defense, that it was years after that. We'd gone on to separate high schools. And Jerry was working at Deli Delight. And I went in there to the little corner store to buy a sandwich or something, and Jerry was behind the counter, and Jerry asked if he could talk to me. It was years later, and he said to me privately, he said, "Bill, it has bugged me for years the way I treated you." And he said, "What you did to me, I deserved every lick I got." And he said, "But I still never apologized to you." And he said, "I just want to tell you now, it has always bothered me, and I'm sorry, and I hope you'll forgive me." And I just was so impressed. I just told him I forgave him. All was well. And we spoke friendly every time I saw him after that. But I was grateful for what my dad had taught me about how to box and how to fight. And I'm not glorifying. I'm not suggesting that anybody in here fight. But the Bible says and uses imagery of you and I as believers fighting the good fight. The Bible uses imagery of you and I as believers boxing with a target in mind. The Bible says that you and I have an opponent. We have an enemy. That you and I are in the ring with someone. And if you don't know you're in the ring for someone, he's already lighting you up. Some people don't even know they're in a fight. But the good news is we are in a fight with a foe that's already been defeated. And what he tries to do is lure us out of the arena of faith. Now, I want to say some things to us very quickly, because there are different types of punches that the enemy tries to sucker us with. The first punch the enemy will try to hit you with, if you're not careful, he'll try to hit you with what's called a rabbit punch. Anybody ever heard of a rabbit punch? This is a common punch in boxing. It's an illegal punch, actually. It comes from it's kind of gross, but the terminology comes from when people would kill a rabbit and they don't want to destroy the pelt, then they hit the rabbit with a descending blow in the back of the head, and anyway, it kills the rabbit without destroying the skin. And that's called a rabbit punch. And so when boxers fight, sometimes when they're clinging, they might hit the other person in the back of the head. And it temporarily disorients the person. And then you gain an advantage when you do that. And so you can lose points if you're caught doing that. But the enemy tries to rabbit punch us. It's a cheap shot. It's a sharp blow to the back of the head. And let me tell you this. Satan is the king of the rabbit punch. You say, how so? Because he will remind you and I of past failures and mistakes. He'll try to get you to remember things that are already past. He'll try to get you and I to remember things that are already forgotten in the mind of God. God said he's taken our sins and thrown it to the deepest ocean. He's divided our sin from us. Anybody glad? As far as the east is from the west. He's washed away every transgression that we had. He nailed it to the cross. He remembers it no more. He has justified us through the blood of Jesus. To be justified means he treats me just as if I'd never sinned. And the enemy will try to remind you of past faults, past mistakes. What is that? That's a spiritual rabbit punch. Don't let him pull that on you. There's another blow the enemy will try to use. Another illegal blow called the low blow. Very unfair, the low blow. An illegal punch from Satan, usually attempted to hit the groin of the opponent. And this happens in boxing many, many times, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose. But when Satan uses it, he does it on purpose. And let me tell you how he hits us with a low blow. Temptations, tests, and trials are his low blow. But you know, the Bible said in James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience and endurance. And God said, we might as well have joy. Why? Because we're already been declared the victor. You may be going through a temptation, a test, or a trial, but God's already made you the victor tonight. Don't let the enemy hit you with a low blow. You're going through a temptation, a test, or a trial. If you'll hold on to your joy and stick by the word, God will bring you through on the other side. I said, I wish I had an amen. Anybody know what I'm saying is the truth? He will bring you out. He'll bring you through. He'll bring you over. Don't let him hit you with a rabbit punch. Don't let him hit you with a low blow. Thirdly, the enemy will try to hit you and I, if we're not careful, with a sucker punch. That sucker punch is what Jerry Petersack tried to hit me with. He extended his hand to shake my hand and then swung on me. Sucker punch. To lure you in deceptively within a range and then try to hit you. And so the enemy tries to throw a sucker punch, and usually a sucker punch is thrown, most of the time he throws this one after a Christian has won a great victory. Usually when a great victory has come, the enemy tries to hit you with a sucker punch. You remember after David had slain Goliath, cut Goliath's head off, they were in the parade celebrating the great victory. And Saul was looking at David saying, and the women were singing, David has slain his, Saul has slain his thousands, David slain his 10,000s. And Saul was made a plot right there to try and kill him, threw a spear at him twice. But the thing is, most of the time when you gain a great victory, that's not the time to let down your guard. Sometimes people get a great victory, you know, the first thing they do, they stop coming to church. Sometimes people get a great victory and they stop showing up to their fellowship and stop getting in the word, and they just kind of have a little spiritual lapse and they say, well, I'm just kind of on vacation. Listen, there's no time when we're supposed to take a spiritual vacation. I said, I wish I had an amen. Amen. There's nowhere in the book we're supposed to take a spiritual vacation. He is our vacation. He is our rest. He is our peace. He is our comfort. I wish I had an amen.
And so this sucker punch, the enemy will try to sneak up on your blind side just when you stop getting in the word, just when you stop fellowshipping, just when you stop going to church, and he'll put your feet where your head were a minute ago if you're not careful, with a sucker punch. And the best thing you can do is when you gain a victory, stay in the fellowship, stay in the word, stay in the atmosphere of praise and the presence of God. Amen. Don't let him hit you with a sucker punch. And many of us in here, you've been hit, or we've been hit sometimes with a rabbit punch or a low blow or a sucker punch. But let me tell you, just because the enemy hit you, he may have got one in on you, but get right back up. The Bible says, Proverbs 24:16, a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. But the wicked stumble in a time of calamity. There is a phrase in boxing known as throwing in the towel. It means to give up. Back in 1913, they were using that phrase. And it meant if someone in the boxer's corner, his trainer or his team, if they felt like he was getting beat and could not win and just taking punishment, then they were telling the ref to stop it and the ref wasn't listening, then they would throw in a towel. And the ref, seeing that towel, would then concede the fight. But God's not made you and I to throw in any towels. And you may be sitting here tonight, got your towel out, thinking, I'm going to throw the towel in. But you can't quit. You can't give up. Jesus did not design. He did not pay that price for you and I, for us to just throw in the towel and give up. I said he paid the price. He won the victory, so that you and I could walk in the blessing of what he provided for us. Quickly now, we're rounding third. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 23. Over in Ephesians chapter 1. Go there with me quickly. Verse 20 and 23. The good news tonight is Jesus already defeated Satan, and his victory has become our victory. We're simply enforcing what our elder brother won. And he won our rights, he won our victory. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Go with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together. Everybody say, made us alive together. With Christ, for by grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him. Say that with me. Raised us up with him. And seated us with him. Say that. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That the victory that Jesus won is our victory too. God raised, listen, when he died, we died. When God raised him, we were raised. And listen, when he was seated in a position of authority far above all principality, power, and every name you can name, we were seated. And so the victory has become ours. Let me say this in winding this message down. The enemy, with those punches he tries to hit us with, he'll accompany something with that. One thing he likes to use is trash talk. He's the accuser of the brethren. Anybody know what trash talk is? Now, we perfected trash talk back in the 70s. At least I thought we had, you know. From our little neighborhood, you come out and play basketball or football or baseball or roller derby or whatever we were playing, we're going to trash talk you. And that worked pretty good till we got to high school. Then we had to play the boys from the Trenton High School. We barely had mustaches on the top of our lips. They had full-grown beards. We thought we knew what it was, talk to trash. We would talk trash, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. We showed up there, they were talking about our mama. They taught us a whole new level of trash talk. But listen, Satan is the ultimate trash talker. And why does he talk trash? He talks trash to intimidate and to instill fear. And he wants you to think that he's something he is not. And he wants you to think that you are not something that you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so he'll try and intimidate you. And the key is, don't let him intimidate you. And I'll tell you this, you know, there was a Mike Tyson was a great boxer. And, you know, he intimidated people. He'd just show up and he would intimidate people. But 1990, February the 11th, he fought a man named Buster Douglas. And Mike was used to going, and half his battle, he would intimidate people. He would just show up. You probably don't know Mike. Well, you may know him now, but you may not know, you didn't know him when he was fighting. But he'd show up in black trunks and just black boots on, and just he would just intimidate people. And his fights would last like sometimes one round, two rounds. And he would just, I mean, he would knock out the greatest of boxers. But on February the 11th, he met up with Buster Douglas in 1990. And Buster, they said, the odds makers said 42 to 1. Buster has one chance in 42 of ever beating him. And the thing is, what Mike didn't know that night, he showed up to intimidate Buster. But here's the thing. Buster's mama had recently died. And Buster showed up in Japan where they fought. And Buster said, my mama died. I'm dedicating this fight to her. I ain't afraid of nobody tonight. And he got in the ring, and Buster said later, he said, I got in the ring. I looked at him. He didn't intimidate me. I wasn't afraid of him. He said, I'm fighting. I realized my mama was gone. Ain't nothing to be afraid of. I'm going to fight this fight for my mama. And Tyson showed up, and Buster knocked him out. Yeah, he wasn't intimidated. But we have to be a little like that when we're operating with the enemy with our authority. We have to stop being intimidated. Stop letting him intimidate us and put fear in us. Jesus, our elder brother, has already won the victory. Jesus has already won the battle. And if we'll stick by Jesus and stick by the word, he'll bring us straight through to the victory. Let me say this to you. When you are operating with the Lord, let him teach you how to jab. You know what that is? Quoting scripture every day. The word coming out of your mouth. Let him teach you how to hit the devil with a jab. Let him teach you how to hit the devil with an uppercut. You know what that is? Pleading the blood of Jesus over your life. Revelations 12, 10 through 12. Let Jesus teach you how to hit Satan with the knockout blow. You know what that is? Using your God-given authority through the mighty name of Jesus will knock him out every single time. Jesus has given us authority and access to his name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, tonight, we know you've encouraged us to fight the good fight. And yet someone right in here right now today may be going through something, may have been hit by the enemy's sucker punch or rabbit punch, may have been tricked by the enemy in some way. But Father God, tonight we thank you that you're here to lift them up, to bring them back, to strengthen them. With every head bowed in here, let me ask you. So if you're here tonight, you may have said, the enemy has just gotten the best of me recently and I'm ready to throw in the towel. But you know, somehow or another, I feel differently now. I sense the Lord talking to me, and I feel a new vigor. I'm going to fight the good fight. Let me see your hand. Every head is bowed. Let me see your hand in here. Yeah. Okay. Praise God. All right. Okay, you can put your hand down. Let me ask you this. You're in here today, but you say, you know, I'm not living the way I should be, and I know I've got to correct that. The Holy Spirit's dealing with me. I'm not living the way I should be, and I know I've got to make a change. Let me see your hand. You're in here, and you say, I know I'm not living the way. Yes. Thank you. I know I'm not living the way I should be. I want to be able to fight the good fight of faith, but I can't fight the good fight of faith living the way I am. Very importantly, I want you to do something for me. You just raise your hand. I want you to do something for just feel led. Listen, I want you to stand up on your feet right now. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. The Lord's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to heal you. God is going to reestablish you. You just had your hand. Come right on down here. Just boldly. Just come right on down here. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do just what I said. I'm going to pray for you. You say, I want to make things right with God. You say, I don't want to go on like that. I want to make it right with God. Just come right on down here. I want to make it right with God. Don't want to go another day. Don't want to go another day. Just want to be totally free. Just come right on down. Just want to be totally free. Want to make it right. Just stay right there. Thank you all. Come on. Just come right on up to this line. Come right on up here. Come on. Yes. Praise God. Just come on. Hey, I'm going to get it right tonight. I'm going to get it right with God tonight. Not going to go on like this. Want to fight the good fight of faith. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Father, say this after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for hearing my prayer. I ask you, Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Through the mighty blood of Jesus, restore me and reestablish me. through the name of Jesus. Make me the man or the person, make me the person that you want me to be, and I will live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, you've seen honest hearts, honest hands, and I thank you for touching my friends and helping them. I thank you for strengthening them, renewing, restoring, and reestablishing through the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the mighty power of God being displayed in their lives. And we just give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to do one more thing for me. We're going to ask you to go just briefly to a place of prayer. Just briefly, we want to give you some materials. And Brother Paul, why don't you just come on down? This is Brother Paul, and he's going to lead you to the place of prayer. And somebody's just going to pray with you individually. Make sure you got everything that you came for. I want you to go with Paul right now. We're going to give you some free materials. And we're not going to keep you long. We're just going to bless you, give you some free materials, and answer some questions. Just go with him right now. Thank you so much for coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hand toward him. Father, thank you so much for every single person who came down for prayer now. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for helping them. Thank you for strengthening them. Thank you, whatever they need, Father. If they need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if they need to be strengthened, if they need encouragement, if they need, Father God, something from the mighty word or the Holy Ghost, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you are not going to let the devil rabbit punch you? You're not going to let the devil sucker punch you? You're not going to let the devil take advantage of you in any area? Going to fight the good fight. Hallelujah. Well, stand on your feet. All right. So if I understand now, we're going to go over to the NRC. And Pastor, you want to come up and make the announcements? Let Pastor come up and make the announcements. God bless you. Amen.
Y'all sit down. I'm so used to having that head mic on. I'm sorry. Hey, you know, how many of you like that? Especially if you know anything about boxing. How many of you ever read any of my dad, Kenneth Hagin's books, or heard him preach and heard him talk about his brother, Uncle Dub, my uncle, and his brother, Dub? Uncle Dub was 6'5", and I remember him back when I was, you know, first back in 46. He'd gotten out of the Army. He's 6'5", wore a size 50 coat, and had a 34-inch waist. He looked like a wedge from the back. And he was, it wasn't until later years that he really got turned on for God. He was meaner than a junkyard dog. And I mean that the truth, too. But he taught all of his nephews how to box. He was in the Army and back in the, you know, World War II and then afterwards. And he in fact he's in the Army. I remember him that when I was in first grade. And he even become the light heavyweight service champion of all Navy, Army, Air Force, all of them. He is the light heavyweight champion. And so Uncle Dub, you know, he would tell us, he'd say, don't ever aim for a guy's nose. Aim for the back of his head through his nose. And he'd say to us, he'd say, if you're going to get into boxing, say, don't keep your head up here like this. Pull your head down in here where if he swings, he can't get to you without hitting that shoulder. You know, get your head down and get in a good stance. Get the elbows in tight, and when you hit, make sure that you make contact when your elbow is still bent, and then twist your fist and finish the blow. Huh? Oh, yeah. How many of you were there the Wednesday night that the guy made the stage, jumped the stage over there? How many of you were there? And I went, how many of you remember, I went into action immediately. I was ready. But see, you got to be ready at all times for the enemy to come after you. You know, we don't advocate fighting, but we're using those examples because that's the same thing we got to do with the enemy. Hello? All right, praise the Lord. Did the pizzas get here yet? Not yet. that's supposed to have been here already, and they didn't get here yet. And they texted me and said, take up a little time, the pizza's not here. So I'm going to preach. I preach sermon number two for you tonight. Yeah. Yeah, another thing Uncle W's tell, he told me, well, in fact, my cousin boxed in the Golden Gloves there in Dallas in flyweight, I think he was fought at. But he said, he used to tell us, he said, if somebody comes up and is telling you they're going to whip you and they're going to do it, he said, don't, just haul off and cold cock them right there. He said, that's usually the end of the fight. And he told me, George Irvin, he said, don't ever walk up and tell somebody you're going to whip them or anything. And just walk up to them and knock the fire out of them. That was Uncle Dub. But some of that is the truth. You know, guy come up talking, and usually they just like Jerry, he really didn't. He didn't want to fight. But let me tell you what, the devil will come after you. I mean, and you got to be ready. But Paul talks about fighting and saying the Word of God. We got to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. And we don't roll up our sleeves and double up our fists, but we have to fight the fight of faith. The devil's going to steal from you. He's going to punch you. He's going to do everything. But you can outmaneuver him. Amen. And there's a lot more in footwork. Besides, there's a lot more. There's footwork and head and bobbing and weaving and a whole lot of stuff that's in there. But did you ever notice that when you go over there and it talks about, it's here, okay. just a minute. Let me finish my thought. The armor that it talks about putting on the armor over there, did you ever notice that there's a lot on defense? It's defensive weapons. And any boxer that is any good is good with defense. If he's not good with defense, on how good offense he's got, he's going to get beat. Isn't that right, Brother Bell? You a boxer. Yeah, all right. Praise the Lord. What? All right. How many of you got kids in the children's area? Pick up your kids before you go over to the NRC. Okay. Now, to begin with, only two pieces of pizza per person until everybody's served, and then if there's more, we'll announce it, and you can go back and get as much as you want. Also, We have a big cake that says 30 on it, but we're not going to cut that. We got cupcakes that all around. One cupcake per person. One cupcake per person, okay? How many of you? Say it with me. Two pieces of pizza. One cupcake per person. All right.
Now, let me tell you, there are four lines. You can go on each side of the line. There are four different companies, and the names will be up there before we got the pizza. But every line has the same kind of pizza. Okay, so just get in one line. And another reason that we say just two pieces is one time I had a ladies' fellowship here, and we were having lasagna, and we were about to run out of food. And so I just got up, and I said, listen, you need to take normal portions. You know, God is my witness. There was a lady that was fixing to get lasagna to dip it up. And she got this huge piece. And she said, what is normal for some is not normal for others. So that's why we have to specify two pieces, okay? And there will be food patrols over there just in case.
Yeah, Brother Bill going to be over there to box you out. If Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. And the reason we got all the different companies is because like we one time we did pizza years ago, and one company did it, and they had to start cooking at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. By the time it got here, over three quarters of it was already cold. So to get as much pizza as we're getting for tonight, then you went to each company. So, but it's all the same. It's the same on each table. Okay, same kind on each table. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 30 years at Rhema Bible Church. We thank you for the opportunity to enjoy life. We thank you for the food that we're about to partake. We thank you that it will bless our bodies, that you take sickness from our midst and give us health and healing, and no weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.